preparation and readiness. From thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For thou art Allah, the best guardian, and thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it of associating others with thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to thee, addressing myself to thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to you for the hope of your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of thy creation, the summoner to thy truth. Exalt me with thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brother, dear sister, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, in which we're going to speak about the Holy Quran in life.
من الآيات والتفسير ويسقي العقل والتفكير يواكب واقع التغيير يشيد بالوئام صروح
يشيد بالوئام صروح
يشيد بالوئام صروح
يطوف بين الروح سناه على الحياة يلوح مع القرآن حين أعيش عبير الوجد من
Let's at first look at the calendar. What date is today? Saturday, 6th of Shawwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, which is corresponding to the 16th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of April, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Chapter Sa'd, verse 29 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab.
This is a blessed book which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, that they might reflect upon its verses, and that those of understanding would be reminded.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran is surely blessed. Its recitation, reflection, history, reasoning, story, the samples of sciences, hidden news, similes, bits and forbits, all in all are full of mysteries and secrets. Quran is for contemplation, and it is not merely for taking a good omen to its apparent. And contemplation in the Holy Quran is for admonition, else there may happen that a person perceives the scientific secrets of the Quran, but it causes his pride.
إن القرآن لنور يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات.
إن القرآن لنور
يتفجر في جنباتي يرفعني عند مليك الخلق لأعلى الدرجات.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي، قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
Quran in our life. The Quran serves as a comprehensive guide for Muslims, detailing the purpose of life and the path to spiritual fulfillment. It is believed to be the divine word of Allah, emphasizing the importance of mending the relationship between humanity and the Creator. Of course, through worship, remembrance, and obedience. The overarching message is one of the complete surrender to Allah, promising salvation, paradise, and protection from the torments of hell for those who believe and perform good deeds, while warning of the consequences of disbelief and an immoral lifestyle.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was not only talking, he was dictating it. He wanted somebody to write it down. He says, Wallah, Wallah, I remind you of Allah. I remind you of Allah. Fil Quran. Regarding the Quran, La yasbiqukum bil amal bihi ghayrukum. It shouldn't be that others implement the Quran before you. So then we complain, oh, where is Allah? Well, Allah says, I have certain rules and regulations and I work according to the system. That brings me to, this last passage of Surah Yasin, which we recite every Thursday or whenever we have the gatherings for the marhumin. You know, Surah Yasin basically is considered to be the Qalb al-Qur'an. It is the heart of the Quran. The reason why it's called Qalb al-Quran, because it has the summary of the three fundamental concepts of Islam. One is Tawheed, the other is Nubuwwat, and the third is Qiyamah. However, the sequence in Surah Yasin is not in that way. The earlier part talks about Nubuwwat and Quran, and then it comes to Tawheed, and then it comes to Qiyamah and the Day of Judgment. But at the end, you know, ayat number 69 to the end of it, 83, is kind of a summary of the surah. And in summary also, the same sequence has been followed. So in that summary, which I consider to be the summary of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by talking about the Quran, because the concept of Quran being a revelation is part of Nubuwwat. And this is where he says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرُ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ, that we have not taught poetry to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You one of the labels that the mushrikeen used against the Prophet to say that he is sha'ir. You know, he's a poet, and these are not words of God. This is poetry of his own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, in a way, you know, responds to that by saying, we have not taught him poetry, nor is it appropriate for him to compose poetry. It's not that he didn't have the ability. He had, but it was not appropriate, because if he starts composing his own poetry, then they will say, see, we said this. So it's not that he didn't have the ability, but he did not ever, compose poetry. And so what is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. This is nothing but the reminder for the people and a plain Qur'an. Qur'an is very simple as far as the understanding of the meaning is concerned.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special. This is today's special, which notices the universal import of the Holy Quran. It is true that before Islam spread beyond the Arabian Peninsula, Quranic injunctions were obviously directed towards the Arab nation. From the sixth year after the Hijrah, the migration of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina, when the deen of Islam was being propagated beyond the peninsula, there are references which demonstrate the Quran is addressing itself to mankind in general. For example, look at verse 6 of chapter 19. Allah says, "This Quran has been revealed to me that I may warn you and whomever it may reach." Allah says, "In truth, this is one of the greatest signs, being a warning unto men." History has demonstrated that Islam has been embraced by a number of leading members of other religions, including the idol worshippers of Mecca, Jews and Christians, and by people from diverse communities, such as Salman of Persia, Suhaib from the Roman people, and Bilal of Ethiopia. By the way, one of the tips to improve our understanding of the Holy Quran is studying the basics of the Quran. Before you start your journey to understand the Quran and its meanings, spend some time understanding its basics. For example, search why it was sent down to humanity, by who, in which time, for which people, and what is its end goal. Reading Sirah will make this much easier on you. Islam originates in Quran, for sure, but Prophet Muhammad's life really puts Islam into action. You'll see how he used to behave and what decisions he used to make, as his ultimate reference was the Quran itself.
Focus on the tradition from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, in which he teaches us one of the etiquettes of recitation of the Quran. And by etiquette, we don't mean, for example, having physical purity or facing the Qibla or any of the other, you know, etiquette which are mentioned by scholars before we engage in recitation of the Quran. Obviously, all of these are important, but he guides us to a etiquette, and when we actually are reciting the verses of the Quran, things that should be running through our mind, things that we should be thinking about as we engage in this regular recitation of the Book of Allah. And in this beautiful tradition, the sixth Imam says the following about how we should actually go about reciting the verses of Allah, and he states the following. It is advisable for the person who is reciting the Quran that when he reaches to a verse from the Quran in which there is a request for something, that he asks Allah for that thing. Or when he reaches to a verse of the Quran in which there is talk about the punishment, that he asks Allah for protection from the fire of hell and the punishment. Here the sixth Imam beautifully shows us the importance of, again, not just reciting the book, but rather reciting with reflection, with thought, with contemplation. He clearly shows us that when we recite the Quran and we come across a verse that talks about some benefit, some pleasure, some reward, whether it be this world or otherworldly, that we pause and we ask Allah for that blessing. When we recite verses of the Quran that talk about paradise under, you know, in which people will reside in gardens under which rivers flow, and that they will be given fruits of every kind and whatever they would like would be at hand, we should not just read this verse and skip over it and go on to the next passage, but rather we should stop, think, reflect on that particular verse and ask Allah for what those blessings are that we have just recited. Obviously, this means that we need to understand what we recite within the Quran, because as the sixth Imam is showing us, that this is what we should ask for. And if we don't understand the verses, then we can't be at a level to ask Allah for these things. And on the other side, he shows us when we read a verse about the punishment of Allah, and these are within the Quran in numerous different ways and numerous different wordings, where we are told about the fire of hell, we are told about certain punishments that would be inflicted upon people, we're told of sometimes even punishments within this world if we don't obey commandments. When we come across such verses, we need to stop for pause and think for a minute, that are we doing those actions that Allah is condemning within the Quran?
That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
In khundan Quran va talavat Quran qadam avval ast baradaran man, in qadam akhir nist.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So today we reflect on a deep and transformative hadith that connects faith, the heart, and the tongue. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, says, "A person's faith will not be firm unless his heart is firm. And his heart will not be firm unless his heart will not be firm unless his tongue is controlled." What does this mean? It tells us that true faith is reflected not just in beliefs, but in how we speak. Let's explore how controlling the tongue strengthens both the heart and faith. So faith isn't just words. It's a conviction that must be deeply rooted in the heart. A wavering heart leads to weak decisions, doubts, and inconsistency in practice. So a person who gets influenced by every new trend without strong principle struggles to maintain their faith. And what we say, what we say affects our emotions and beliefs. Constant negativity, backbiting or lying corrupts the heart. A person who speaks with wisdom and kindness develops a purified heart. Someone who constantly complains about life becomes ungrateful, while someone who practices gratitude strengthens their faith. So control your tongue, otherwise it will control you and your future and your destiny and your life, on a whole. So hurtful words break relationships, while words of encouragement uplift others. The tongue can spread truth or falsehood, peace or conflict. A leader who speaks honestly and calmly gains people's trust, while one who speaks recklessly loses respect. So think before you speak. Does it bring benefit or harm? Avoid lies, gossip, and harsh words. Speak words of gratitude, kindness, and wisdom. Use your tongue to remember Allah. Recite the Quran. Give sincere advice. Tongue is a limb that you can obey or disobey Allah with it so easily. Why not use it in the best way? Why use it in like disobedience to God? While you can remember Allah with it, you can make others happy, you can say the truth, you can spread the truth, you can spread wisdom. So you can do a lot of good deeds with your tongue. Why not use it in a good way? So this hadith reminds us that controlling our words is the key to stabilizing our heart. And a stable heart leads to strong faith. Let's practice mindful speech and purify our hearts for a deeper connection with Allah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi. Sheikh Tukhi was born in a village in north of Egypt in 1954. His father, who was a hafiz and guardian of the Noble Quran, encouraged him to begin learning the Quran at an early age. He managed to memorize the Holy Quran completely at the age of 9, and then he started learning the principles of recitation and soon revealed his exceptional talent in the field. Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi studied Quran recitation under the care of prominent Quran reciter Sheikh Muhammad Rifat and Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha, and especially Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. He became so popular that he was named Sheikhul Qurra, which means the master of Quran reciters of Alexandria in Egypt. He made trips to many countries like Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Britain, and China to recite verses of the Noble Quran. Sheikh Abdul Munim al-Tukhi passed away in 2007. May Allah bless him. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 36 and 37 of Surah Al-Hud, recited by Sheikh Abdul Munim al-Tukhi. Let's enjoy it.
لا تبتئس بما كانوا يفعلون
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 36 and 37 of Surah Al-Hud, recited by Sheikh Abdul Munim al-Tukhi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, indeed, it was a beautiful recitation by Sheikh Abdul Munim al-Tukhi, who recited in the riwayah of Warsh an Nafi'. The first sign is the Madul Badal, Uhiya. Madul Badal means that the cause of the Mad, which is Hamza, is before the long vowel instead of after it. And that's why they use the word Badal. Badal means substitution, okay, changing something into something else.
And it is lengthened to six vowel counts.
About six, or probably four. I'm not sure. It could be four or six. And another sign is Nuhinannahu. Ila Nuhinannahu. This is Naql, which means the haraka of the Hamza transfers to the previous letter,
which is Sakin.
Which is Nun Sakina. Nuhinannahu. And before we go on and talk about the Tajweed, I think it's good if we talk about the Maqamat as well. The Maqamat that were used in this recitation, it was mostly Bayati. It was a very beautiful way of using Bayati by Sheikh Abdul Munim At-Tawqi. It had a lot of huzn, okay? And his voice, just the nature of his voice has a lot of huzn in it, okay?
Sorrow.
The sorrow, yes. This was Bayati. Just there was one in the qafla. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. This is Kurd. Just the qafla. يَفْعَلُونَ. This is Kurd. And reciters such as Sheikh Abdul Munim At-Tawqi, Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad Shabib, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar, Sheikh Shaban Abdul Aziz Sayyad, and Sheikh Muhammad Ahmed Basyuni, they usually use Maqam Kurd in this way. They're reciting in Bayati, and then in the Qafla, they use Kurd.
What does that mean?
Qafla means melodic cadence. The last musical performance, we could say, that is employed. Okay, mm-hmm. And it ends the maqam. Yes. It ends that part that is being recited. Okay. فَلَنْ تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. This is just يَفْعَلُونَ. This is Kurd. And just like I said, those reciters, they usually use Kurd in this way. But Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan and Muhammad Imran, they use Maqam Kurd a lot more clearly. And they, you know, they elaborate on this Maqam. They clearly show this Maqam in the way that they perform Maqam Kurd. But other reciters, such as Sheikh Abdul Munim At-Tawqi, they just use it in the Qafla, we could say this.
Okay,
and we have some other rules.
If you
for
agree,
example,
talk about tajweed.
Yes,
points.
Tajweed. Yes, let's go on. Talk about the tajweed. Min qawmika. Here we have ikhfa of nun sakina. And we can place the tongue in the place of articulation of qaf, because usually you wouldn't do that.
Yes.
For letters of ikhfa, you would actually approximate the place of articulation
of the letter
of the letter of ikhfa. Approximation means you make the tongue or whatever articulator that is used get really close to the place of articulation of that letter.
And
then
we keep
make,
it there.
Yeah, we keep it there and then make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. But there's an exception to this rule, apparently, even though it's not a written rule, that for qaf and kaf,
yeah,
you're allowed to place the tongue, which is the back of the tongue, the deepest part of the tongue, and the roof of the mouth for qaf, the part of the mouth which is right above the deepest part of the tongue. This is the place of articulation of qaf.
Mm-hmm.
And for kaf is the back of the tongue a little bit more forward than qaf, and the soft velum, the soft palate, which is known as the velum. That's
mm-hmm.
for kaf. They're really close to each other. And
so we put
the
tongue there and make
a
nasal sound.
And then make
sound.
A nasal sound, which is a complete nasal sound.
Yeah,
it's
for
not
two vowel counts.
Enthemi. We have enthemi nasalization for ikhfa of nun sakina with respect to the other letters, which means it's oral and nasal, but mostly nasal. Enth means nose. Fem means mouth.
No.
Enthemi. We could
oronasal,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
but for qaf and kaf, as you said, we make a completely nasal sound.
Yes, because we're totally obstructing
mm-hmm.
The oral cavity.
Yes.
And there's no way that the sound is going to come from the mouth.
Because we place the tongue in the place of articulation and we obstacle the airflow.
Obstruct.
And we obstruct the airflow.
And yes, that's right. And let's go on to verse 37 and mention one rule of tajweed in this verse. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي. تُخَاطِبْنِي. We have a very
somehow
big
difficult to
contrast
yeah.
because we have a kha at the highest level of tafkhim,
and then ta,
we have a ta at the lowest level of tafkhim. And this is very difficult, especially the ta. We shouldn't say tukha tibani. Tibani is incorrect. We should lower the tafkhim to the lowest level that is possible.
And at first we have ta.
Yeah.
We
have the root of the tongue, which is raised, mm-hmm. and the mouth is opened vertically. And then for ta, tibani, tibani. The ta, we spread the lips while mm-hmm. pronouncing ta, while the root of the tongue is also raised.
To ha tibani.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you in this edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition, we will inshallah talk about the dua, the reality of supplication, its categories, and we will describe some of its effects. So stay with us. Dear listeners, we were talking about the second constituent of supplication, which was the supplicant itself. And we told you, dear listeners, that there has to be some characteristics in one supplicant in order to be called a true supplicant. We talked about the first and the second one. The first was submission and knowing that you are the only servant and you are nothing more. The second one was to believe in God's power, which is overpowering every power. And the third one that we're going to talk about now and in this program is that we have to regard God's closeness to man. This is the third condition for a supplicant. And it is to know that Allah is closer to you than anyone or anything else. This is because the Almighty Allah has said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my servants ask you concerning me, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, surely I am very near. So it is really noteworthy that in this very small verse, how many times the Almighty Allah has referred to Himself with different pronouns. He says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي, when my servants ask you concerning me, عَنِّي فَإِنِّي, then He emphasizes, then surely I am very near. And in the other verse we read, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, and we are nearer to Him than His life vein. We even have to believe that Allah intervenes between us and our hearts, and He is the one who is closer than us to ourselves.
Alhamdulillah, خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الأسباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Imam Ali عليه السلام in his Saturday's prayer says, أتقرب إليك بالسعة رحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. O my Lord, I approach to you, I try to approach to you by your great mercy which has encompassed everything. وقد ترى يا ربي مكاني, and my Lord, you see my place. وتطلع على ضميري, you know what there is in my conscience. وتعلم سري, and you know my secrets, and nothing of my affairs is unknown to you. وأنت أقرب إلي من حبل الوريد, and you are closer to me than my life vein. So the Almighty Allah is close to us whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we realize it or not, but it is the very true fact that لا تدركه العيون, the eyes do not see Him بمشاهدة العيان, the eyes do not see Him, but the hearts perceive Him with the facts of faith. قريب من الأشياء غير ملامس, He's near to things without mixing them, without being mixed with them, and far from them without neglecting them. He's at the same time very close and at the same time far, but He's not neglecting anything. So dear listeners, these very traditions that were read to you, these very verses of the Holy Quran that were read, these verses and traditions show how important it is to believe and regard Allah's closeness to ourselves. So, moving on to the next parts of being a true supplicant, we'd better talk about sincerity. We've previously talked about sincerity, so we're not going to wait that much here long to talk about it. So, as you all know, sincerity means that your tongue is trying to say, your tongue is saying whatever your heart believes in. So, your heart is actually the one who is talking out loud. This is the true meaning of sincerity.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim, He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad, He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you.
The next part of being a real supplicant is to be really invoking Allah, I mean intentionally invoking Allah, and believing in what you're saying. As the previous one, the sincerity part, we're not going to wait that much here, so we're going to move on to the next and sixth part, which is the very important one, and it is the very good manners in supplication. You see, dear listeners, this is the very condition that many people neglect. A supplicant should engage practice supplication with good manners and in complete humbleness. We have it in one of our traditions that there was a certain believer who had worshipped God for 70 years, spending his nights in worshipping and his days in fasting, and one day he asked God for a need, but his request was not answered. So he addressed his very self saying, "You are responsible." He was talking to himself. "What have you been doing all this time? If you had been good, your need would have been answered." So this was the very moment when the God sent him an angel to tell him, "Oh, son of Adam, when you were checking on yourself, when you were checking your own defects and you were criticizing yourself, you were in a state which was better than your worships." Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. We're going to move on with different aspects, talking about different aspects of supplication in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio. Allah, Allah, Allah.
که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Mousavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain viewpoints of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, who was the great founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to shed light and explain some precious points in their view. Well, on the subject of faith and practice, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, a true believer does not only believe in the unseen, but also acts upon that belief with sincerity and devotion.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
This notion emphasizes that genuine belief is not merely an abstract acknowledgement of the unseen, such as the existence of God, angels, or the Day of Judgment, but is intrinsically linked to sincere and devoted actions in everyday life. In Shia thought, faith is deeply rooted in the Holy Book of Quran, which states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, feel a tremor in their hearts. Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 2. You know, this verse conveys that a true believer's heart resonates with faith, moving beyond intellectual assent to a profound emotional and spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and especially Imam Ali alayhi as-salam, emphasized that faith must be accompanied by action. He said, faith is like a bird. The heart of it is belief, while the wings are the action. Belief and action must coexist in true faith to thrive. This synthesis of faith and action is vital in fulfilling one's duty towards God, oneself, and the other broader communities as well. Sincerity or ikhlas plays a crucial role in Shia teachings. Actions performed with sincerity ensure that one's service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and humanity is genuine and devoid of ulterior motives. Imam Khomeini's assertion also aligns with the Shia principle of niyyah or intention, suggesting that actions must be undertaken within the right intention towards God. In essence, this quotation reflects the Shia belief that a true believer demonstrates their faith not just through belief in the unseen, but also by living a life characterized by sincere, devoted actions that embody their beliefs. It calls for a holistic approach to faith, where personal integrity, social responsibility, and spiritual awareness are interwoven into the life of a believer.
Every night and every day,
every night and every day,
was Spring of Truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.